Frank Morpork, it is very hard to watch without being watched in turn, and the two furtive watchers were indeed under careful observation. They were being watched by a small dog, variously coloured, but mainly a rusty grey. Occasionally it scratched itself, with a noise like someone trying to shave a wire brush. There was a piece of string around its neck. This was attached to another piece of string, or rather, to a length made up of pieces of string inexpertly knotted together. The string was being held in the hand of a man. At least, such might be deduced from the fact that it disappeared into the same pocket of the grubby coat as one's sleeve, which presumably had an arm in it, and theoretically, therefore, a hand on the end. It was a strange coat. It stretched from the pavement almost to the brim of the hat above it, which was shaped rather like a sugar loaf. There was a suggestion of grey hair around the join. One arm burrowed in the suspicious depths of a pocket and produced a cold sausage.
"Two men spying on a patrician," said the dog. "An interesting thing."
"Bagram,"
said the man, and broke the sausage into two democratic halves. William wrote a short paragraph about Patrician Visits the Bucket and examined his notebook. Amazing, really. He'd found no less than a dozen items for his newsletter in only a day. It was astonishing what people would tell you if you asked them. Someone had stolen one of the golden fangs of the statue of Offler the Crocodile God. He'd promised Sergeant Colon a drink for telling him that, but in any case had got some way towards payment by appending to his paragraph the sentence, "The watch are mightily in pursuit of the wrongdoer and are confident of apprehension at an early juncture." He was not entirely sure about this, although Sergeant Colon had looked very sincere when he said it. The nature of truth always bothered William. He had been brought up to tell it, or more correctly, to own up, and some habits are hard to break if they've been beaten in hard enough. And Lord de Worde had inclined to the old proverb that, as you bend the twig, so grows the tree. William had not been a particularly flexible twig. Lord de Worde had not himself been a violent man. He'd merely employed them. Lord de Worde, as far as William could recall, had no great enthusiasm for anything that involved touching people. Anyway, William always told himself, he was no good at making things up. Anything that wasn't the truth simply unravelled for him. Even little white lies like, "I shall definitely have the money by the end of the week," always ended in trouble. That was telling stories. A sin in the de Worde compendium that was worse than lying. It was trying to make lies interesting. So William de Worde told the truth, out of cosmic self-defence. He'd found a hard truth less hard than an easy lie. There had been rather a good fight in the mended drum. William was very pleased with that one. Whereupon Breezok the Barbarian picked up a table and delivered a blow to Moulton the Snatcher, who in his turn seized hold of the chandeliers and swung thereon, the while crying, "Take that, thou B.ST.RD, that you are." At which juncture a ruckus commenced and five or six people were hurt. He took it all down to the bucket. Gunilla read it with interest. It seemed to take very little time for the dwarfs to set it up in type. And it was odd, but once it was in type, all the letters so neat and regular, it looked more real. Bodney, who seemed to be second in command of the print room, squinted at the columns of type over Good Mountain's shoulders.
"Hmm,"
he said. "What do you think?" said William.
"It looks a bit grey," said the dwarf. "All the type bunched up. Looks like a book."
"Well, that's all right, isn't it?" said William. Looking like a book sounded like a good thing.
"Maybe you want to get it more sort of spaced out," said Gunilla.
William stared at the printed page. An idea crept over him. It seemed to evolve from the page itself. "How about," he said, "if we put a little title on each piece?" He picked up a scrap of paper and doodled, "5/6, hurt in tavern brawl." Bodney read it solemnly.
"Yes," he said eventually, "that looks suitable."
He passed the paper across the table.
"What do you call this news sheet?" he said.
"I don't," said William.
"But you've got to call it something," said Bodney. "What do you put at the top?"
"Generally, something like, 'To my lord the—'" William began. Bodney shook his head.
"You can't put that," he said. "You want something."